This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how.
Get it on, got to get on a church, bitch, man. Man, baby, no. Hey, baby.
Sabadoo.
Sabadoo. Sound like Adam Sandler. Welcome to Ace on the House. I'm Carl. It's Eric Stromer.
Yes, sir.
Over there. I want to thank TommyJohn.com/Adam for sponsoring the show. SimplySafe.com/Ace, BeaconProPlus.com, and Geico.com as well. And also Blinds Galore. We love these guys. What are you doing, Stromer, working on the
Adam, I wrestled with people in a Whole Foods last night because I was smart enough to order a turkey ahead of time with my app. Mm. They saw the green label that it was organic. Mm. People literally swarmed my cart and confronted me about where did you get that turkey, and then I looked over and I saw a woman going, I said I wanted the turkey, and there was people fighting for fucking turkey in the grocery store last night.
It's ironic that in a parking lot filled with Priuses that have a coexist bumper sticker, yes, you would be physically confronted that
confronted
way.
Confronted about
what
Pabo,
about
as they say.
Coexisting over this Tom Turkey over here.
It was
here.
Insane. Have you been to a grocery store in the last 2 days? It's unbelievable out there.
I had my own turkey controversy.
What happened?
Well, it wasn't nearly as dangerous as yours, but I was having one of those... I don't know. I feel like I have conversations with people, but especially my wife, a lot. I don't know.
You're talking about Mrs. Carolla, right?
Yeah. Okay. Gary, you're a math guy. I do a lot of these conversations where Lynette goes, I don't know how big a turkey to get. And then I go, how many people are showing up? And she goes, 18. And then I go, well, there's probably an amount per person. That's the amount we need to get. And she goes, I don't know what that is. And then I go, okay, well, let's go online. There'll be some recommendation, like you need a pound of meat per person,
right,
or a pound of turkey.
There's That'd be 18 pounds.
Good job, Gary.
Slow down.
Slow down, math. Oh, slow
down,
Einstein.
Let me see your hands. I know he's on his phone.
Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
So I said... Well, go look online and then find out how many pounds or whatever the recommendation is, the average Thanksgiving goer eats, and then we will then do the math and get the turkey. I don't know why this needs to be said out loud, but it's said out loud. And at some point, she comes back with pound and a half per guest. And I said, that's a lot of turkey.
It's a lot of turkey.
It's a lot of turkey. Like, you know, if you get a turkey, you know, you get a steak, you get a 12-ounce steak. That's a good size steak.
Right.
You get a 16-ounce steak. That's huge. That's a pound, right?
Yeah.
And then you go to a 24-ounce steak. That's Diamond Jim Brady.
That's big.
That's big.
That's what the guys at USC before the game, the Rose Bowl.
They go to Lowry's.
That's
get
right.
The Diamond Jim Brady.
That's
so
it.
I said, geez, that sounds like a lot. And she said, well, I think it's the whole turkey, like, you know, includes the skin and the bone and the whole thing just per pound, you know. So if it's a pound and a half and you got 10 people, then you get a 15-pound turkey.
Sure.
I said, okay, that makes sense. I said, it still seems like a lot of turkey per person. And then Max Pat or Gary or Matt or somebody looked into it the other day and they said, well, that includes leftovers.
Oh, is that
now,
a
listen,
thing?
I don't want you factoring in how many sandwiches we're going to get out of this after everyone clears out of my fucking house.
But does that
I
mean
just want
that,
the amount to buy.
But you're giving the guests to-go turkey? Is that the implication?
I'm not exactly sure their turkey weight per unit measuring stick they're using, but here's the information I want out of you, Mr. Internet.
Yes, sir.
How much turkey does the average person consume when they go to your Thanksgiving event? I don't want you factoring in bringing home turkey legs and making turkey goulash the next day. I just want how much for tonight.
In that moment at your house.
Yes.
Yeah.
So pound and a half seemed heavy, but it also factored in leftovers, which is, again, it's a weird way to measure something because the leftover thing is kind of infinite, right? Like,
yeah.
There is no, well, you only want two sandwiches or you want 28 sandwiches? Like, what? How do you know how many kids I have or how much leftover? And by the way, if you know my family, it is, let's see, the next 18 nights are going to be the most expensive sushi. Nobody's going back to the turkey ball.
No, one time they'll eat it.
They do the one thing, and then they all announce, oh, no, we ate that. We can't eat anything two nights in a row.
Right.
You know, throughout civilization, the dawn of civilization. Nobody,
it's a varied menu.
If you ate a Brontosaurus burger on Monday.
You got to go veggie the next meal.
You go full veggie the next. Yeah, nobody's ever. You have pterodactyl stew the next day.
That's
no
right.
one's ever, no nation.
No.
Like, look at Thailand. They've never had Thai food 2 days in a row, right? Yeah. That's unthinkable.
They go
right?
Indian one night.
Or right? Greeks or Hungarian. They never.
No.
No.
What are you, dumb, Dad?
I always love that argument. We had that last night. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have it tonight.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, so we don't need the Thanksgiving leftovers.
Can I just...
Gary, I still want to know if you can find a per ounce per person, and let's back out the leftovers. That's
what
I'm
saying. Can I back away from... So the coexist woman that was screaming at the other woman about the turkey and ripping it out of her hands in the Whole Foods, it goes from there and then cut back to the dawn of America when the Englishman presented the gift... to the Native American chief, that's the origin of this whole thing. Then it went forward again with smallpox blankets to try and wipe those friends out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back to the parking lot. It just all seems so absurd to me.
Yeah. You know who the smallpox blanket is or who the sort of germ warfare guy is?
Who?
Lord Jeff.
Really?
The mascot. The former mascot for Amherst.
Really?
They got rid of Lord Jeff.
Did they really?
Yeah.
So explain that to me.
Dr. Drew went to Amherst.
Yeah.
His mascot, since Amherst was around since, 1728.
Sure, one of the universities older.
Lord Jeff's.
Yeah.
And 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
He got replaced with like a potted ficus or something because these fucking snowflakes can't take a white guy.
A mammoth.
There you go. Problem solved for the indigenous community.
That's right?
Problem solved.
That's it.
Moving on.
Yep, moving on.
We're done.
Let's settle this town.
We replaced this guy in a styrofoam head.
That's right.
And we replaced him with that a
lettuce cup.
No, it was a woolly mammoth. With a prehistoric elephant, and now the indigenous people and all the members of the tribe are doing great.
That's right.
That's See? How it works.
Yes.
Mission accomplished.
Fine.
All right. 1 pound. It's so weird. See, let me tell you guys something. I know nothing, so I know everything. I was just standing in my bedroom, and my wife had the computer, and I said, what is it per person? She went, 1.5 pounds. And I went, that sounds like a lot.
Right.
And she's like, says a pound. The computer, the internet says 1.5 pounds.
That's the truth.
That sounds like a lot. It is 1 pound. And if you want leftovers or have a bunch of fat asses coming, then it's 1.5 to 2 pounds per person. So says Gary. All right. Now, Gary, you're going to have to forward that to Lynette. Sorry. Let me tell you, we got some good calls up here. Let's know about ceramic in the bathroom. Needs help floating mantle. Oh, a floating mantle.
Ooh, I just did one of those.
You just did a floating mantle?
Yes.
Did you dowel it?
I utilized the lack shelf's, idea where you throw a piece of piping that comes out of the wall on a on a cleat, drill your holes into the back of the big solid oak beam that I fashioned to make it look like I pulled it right out of the river in Wyoming. And it put it up on the mantle. It looks
really?
Like, yeah.
Then
just plugged it right in.
Doweled it in?
Yeah.
Nice. Beautiful. All right, let me tell you about Blinds Galore first. BlindsGalore.com, Black Friday sale going on now. Up to 50% off of everything. One of their biggest sales of the year. You can check them out the deals aren't going to last forever. Trust me. They know what they're doing. We all use it here. I use it in my house. Drew has it in his house. We have it in the edit bays and the offices and everywhere we do business. BlindsGalore.com. They do one thing. They do it better than anyone else. They create 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements down to every little detail. Over 2 million windows and counting. 15 years of experience. Probably more. I feel like I've been saying that for about a year. It even insulates your windows and keeps the cold out during the winter. It is good for what ails you. It's the best. It's Blinds Galore, right, Matt?
That's right. Blinds Galore makes it easy to get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home, especially during their huge Black Friday sale. Go to BlindsGalore.com and let them know we sent you from Ace on the House. That's BlindsGalore.com.
All right.
By the way, as I was driving this morning past the honey-baked ham at 7:10 a.m., there were probably 250 people in line to buy ham.
Yeah. Of color.
Please explain.
I found Brothers Love Ham. That's my honey-baked ham.
I didn't take it.
You don't see color.
I don't. You know why? Because I love
it. You're colorblind.
Well, yeah, of course I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Lynette suggested the ham.
Yeah.
But here's my deal with the ham. Here's my power rankings. Okay. Here's my Thanksgiving power rankings. Okay. You need the turkey. That's a given.
Correct.
Then Lynette makes a crazy good big rump roast, like in the slow cooker.
Oh.
You know, when you need you get the horseradish, the creamy horseradish on it.
Almost like prime rib.
Yeah.
Feel.
Yeah. That's it.
You're going three meats?
Well, I said, are you talking about instead of the beef, we get the ham? Because ham is good, but it comes in third.
Of course it is.
Of the power rankings I just laid out. And she said, no, instead of. And I said, nah, let's keep the rump roast, man. Ted, 44, Orange County.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, man.
Hi.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Hey, Adam, I want to give back to you, being a fan. I want to ceramic coat your bathroom for you.
Oh, you do ceramic coatings.
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Let's take a deep dive into ceramic coatings, okay?
Go for it.
Okay. So, Stromer,
yeah.
In the past, I've had a house. I had a house called the Party House over in Sherman Oaks many years ago. Had weird, like, mauve, pink, like, kind of bathroom tile. It's always a shame, and you know this as a tile guy.
Yeah.
When somebody does a perfectly good job and professional job of setting tile, grout and everything else with the float and the substrate and, the whole nine yards, but it's just horrible tile.
It's a bad color.
It's a bad color or bad print or bad anything, and right. You go in there and you're like, I have to bust this whole thing out.
Breaks your heart.
And like make a mess, and you're doing the float. You have to bust out the float. The tile doesn't come off clean a lot of the time, blah, blah, blah. But also, you can paint tile, as you know.
Yeah.
And now we're going to take a little deeper dive here, Ted, and I'm glad you called. Okay.
Thank you. Are you
ready for this challenge?
Go ahead.
I shall be moving into a new home.
What?
With my children.
Yeah. How dare you? When?
My family.
You found a house?
I found a home.
Where? What neighborhood?
Up the street from where I live.
Oh, okay. Can you give us an address so we can come visit?
Yes. It's a nice home, and it's a modern home.
Yeah.
And they've done some nice things, but they inexplicably picked as the color for their Caesar stone in the master bathroom and on the kitchen island, a weird brown. So it's this modern bathroom with this big Carrara tile floor and white tubs and chrome fixtures and everything's beautiful. And then you got this weird brown Caesar stone counter with the sink dropped in and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
The kitchen, same thing. Got modern appliances, beautiful, everything's Euro, everything's great. And for the countertop, they picked kind of a beige. Ugh!
Yeah.
And for the island, they picked brown. And it's a modern architecture, contemporary house with the big chrome everything and the veneers and everything. And then brown.
So everyone.
And it's like insane. No. Like, I want to find the person and like choke them and go, what were you doing? It's just the bathroom. Why didn't you? So the Caesar Stone is wonderful. They've done a wonderful job of the application. Sure. Instantly. Everything is seamless. Everything is perfect. It's brand new.
Yeah.
But it's fucking brown.
Well, it's the kind of house you go in and go, wow. And then you go, oh.
Why did you do this?
Yeah.
So I've been, Ted, I've been sort of racking my brain. Like, I don't want to pull out all the fucking Caesar Stone. It's beautifully done and shaped and edged and everything. I don't want to live with brown countertops in my modern bathroom.
I mean, by brown,
bathroom.
Are you saying like poo brown or like a tobacco color? Like what brown? What tone?
I wish it was something better than just brown, but it's like, it's not dark brown. It's just, but it looks bad inside a modern house. It's just the wrong color.
I got
everybody who sees it goes, why did you do that?
Yeah.
And it's insane because you have samples and all these different colors. And if you just did it white, I have white Caesar Stone in my kitchen.
Right.
It looks beautiful.
Right.
So, Ted.
Yes, Adam.
The challenge.
What's the challenge?
Can you paint a Caesar Stone countertop?
Okay.
Ooh.
With ceramic?
Yes.
Ceramic is not the way that you think it is. It's for protection. It's create a layer. Whatever you like to do with that, after that, I come in and I seal it with the ceramic for you.
Oh, we were talking about doing the ceramic on was it clear ceramic? We've talked about this before, right?
Yeah. So, for example, your tile and your grout, I come in, I lock it in with the ceramic, and then you're going to clean it easily, and then you won't have those water from your...
I got it. I got it. I like it. I like it.
As well.
But they have ceramic with color in it.
No, that's not how ceramic works because it goes into pores and it bonds. It's not like we're not putting a layer on top.
Oh, so this isn't going to cover a color.
No. This is to go into the crevices of the line and the pores of
we don't have any. It's Caesar Stone.
Yeah. What
I'm offering you is I want a ceramic coat, one of your bathroom that's highly used, and then after a couple of months, you're going to see the differences between the coated bathroom and the non-coated bathroom.
I'm with you, and I will take you up on that. I still have to figure out the best way to do that Caesar Stone.
I think you're going to have to just pull it out, brother.
But imagine...
Well, you pull it out, and you replace it with whatever you like, and then I can seal that with the ceramic for you, and then your counterstone is going to be easier to clean, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be shiny.
I got you, Ted, and I enjoy your mother country of Vietnam. I believe the people there are wonderful.
There,
and my Uncle Teddy Boo, right?
Hmm?
And my uncle.
Yeah, your
uncle. Tom Boo, yes.
Yeah, Tom Vu. Yeah, he's a genius.
I love Tom Vu. You guys got to look up Tom Vu videos. So Ted, we will keep
whenever you're ready. I'll come by.
It'll be soon, and we'll get your information off the air. I still think.
Okay, I got an idea.
Okay,
you go first.
Well, they have those guys that go in and do your tubs and do your tiles. I mean, the serious electrostatic, you know, two part. You know, they take your tub. They take your tub or they take your tile or they take your whatever and they put the electro charge on it or whatever. And then they come in and they spray it. And it's not a rattle can. You know what I mean? It's like a process.
Yeah. I think you got to just go over your existing brown with another layer and make it just an inch and a half thick. So there's a second layer on top because you're not going to be you're going to have this beautiful modern house. It's brand new kitchen, and you're going to have a painted surface that will definitely come up when you cut stuff on the counter. You're going to hate it.
I'm mainly thinking about the bathroom right now, and those guys who come in and do it's expensive. The guys who do the tub and tile, you know. Serious
sure
paint, you know, guys.
Yeah.
those guys aren't cheap, but that stuff is durable because it's your bathtub and your shower and everything, right?
Yeah. But I don't think you're going to be happy with that on the kitchen island.
I'm never going to be happy, Strummer.
Of course you're not.
Bill, 33, Connecticut. Oh.
You know what?
Yeah, gentlemen.
Can you hold the phone, Bill? Because I got to talk to you about Tommy John. Why? Mm. Because holidays are fast approaching. Things are about to get uncomfortable, as I witnessed yesterday with people wrestling for turkeys in the store.
Heat is on.
That's right. Crazy travel schedules, awkward family gatherings. Now is the time for the nutcrackers or wedgies. It's not the time, actually, for nutcrackers or wedgies. Are you kidding me? Tommy John, the perfect gift, especially for guys who constantly adjust. No wedgie guarantee, comfortable stay-put waistbands, and luxuriously soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics. No bunching, no riding up. I'm wearing them right now. I've got no bunching. It's fantastic. Are you wearing them on? Let me see your waistband again. This is getting a little awkward, but I guess now I'm enjoying watching your waistband move up and wow! There's no bunching. Are you kidding me?
Wearing the black ones.
That's right. With limited edition holiday gifts, there's something for everyone on your list. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Matt?
Give the gift of mind-blowing comfort this holiday season with limited edition holiday gifts from Tommy John. Plus, save 20% on your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off.
All right. Let's see. Now, where were we? Yes. Bill, 33, Connecticut.
Yeah, Adam, what's going on? Stromer, nice to talk to you.
What's up, brother?
Hey, Adam, don't forget to account for the weight of the carcass and the turkey when you're buying per pound. Per you know, weight per person.
I think the internet has figured that out. Like, you do a pound per person, you have 18 people, you get a 20-pound turkey.
So they're subtracting the skeletal carcass of this thing.
I think we've already spoke too much about this.
All right, whatever.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I got I want to install a floating mantle. I got a piece of 8x8 old barn beam, about 5 feet long. And I want to hang it on my fireplace. Fireplace is about 6 feet wide. And I've heard you guys talk before about, you know, doing the doweling thing. So, you know, epoxying in some all thread. And my only hesitation with that is I'm afraid of drilling in too far with the all thread and cracking the flues. But my other thought was to, I've heard you talk about distributing the load when you're hanging a TV. And I thought of doing maybe a French cleat.
Ooh, I like those. I like those.
So maybe recess the back of the beam where I can screw in the upper part of the French cleat, and then I can use a whole bunch of tapcons or something to mount to the face of the fireplace and then hang it.
Okay. Well, the tapcons are the blue cement screws. You don't have to put a shield in there. You just screw them in, provided you drill the hole the right size. What is the surface of the fireplace?
It's all brick.
It's all brick.
And you're sure it's not veneer, right?
I'm pretty sure it's not veneer. Is there an easy way to tell without drilling into it to see if I hit cinder block or something?
If you could drill through the grout joint with a masonry bit and make sure that you go in there and you pull it out and you realize that you are like at least 3-4 inches deep, then you're fine.
Yeah, it's not veneer brick. It's, you know, it's full depth brick. I know that for sure.
All right, that's good.
All right, so it's full depth. You have your grout line. We would like you to drill this dowel into your grout line, not into your brick, right, Stromer?
Yes, sir.
We could do two. We could do more than two. The French cleat part, I'm a little confused by, unless you're talking about letting it in to the back of the 8x8. Is that
Recess the back of it and hang the upper part. I can screw it right into the back of the beam so it'll be invisible.
All right,
and then,
so
I can mount
the
receiving end.
Who's handy with a router? You?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can take a router. You can put a 3/4-inch straight bit on it. You can set it for
inch and a half.
No. It wouldn't be an inch.
It'd be the thickness of the plywood, right?
It'd just be the thickness of the plywood plus I would go. I'd go just.
You're gonna
a
just
plaza.
Do a ply. Are you gonna do? I thought you were gonna use like a piece of one, like a 2x4.
Don't be an insane person.
Why? Why wouldn't you do that?
Because you just get a. You just rip a piece of 3/4 ply.
All right.
And that way, when you put it on the mantle, you can get more surface and more bite and more whatever.
Okay.
I'm with you on this French cleat. The French cleat, everybody, is picture. Here's how I would make it. And I've not done a lot of French cleating, but here's how I would make it. I would take, how much space do we have? It's tough because you got 8x8, so we're going to run out of room pretty quick.
Here's why I don't like plywood, because if you're spanning across brick, it can, and you screw it in to brick, it can flex.
Yeah.
You don't have any forgiveness when it comes to making the cleat work.
It's
with
true.
That depth. That's why I wanted a bigger stock.
You have some forgiveness, but yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
And I would take a 4-foot level or 6-foot level, and I would put it on that brick where you want it.
Right.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. You ready?
Yes.
To make the French cleat, you take a your table saw. You have a table saw, Bill?
Yep.
Okay. I would set it. I'd set it for 6 inches.
Okay.
I'd rip a piece that was 3 inches short of the length of the
mantelpiece. Yeah.
Then I would set my saw blade over at 45 degrees and set it at 3 inches and just rip it down to whatever.
Right.
Right? Or I might set it at like 3.5 or 4 or whatever and put the piece on the mantles a little chunkier.
Right.
Than the piece that's going to be let in to the back of the 8x8.
Correct.
Then I'd put them before I did my 45 cut on the table saw, I'd take the 6-inch piece that I ripped. I would set it down on the back of the mantle, make it level, make it where you want it, right to left, up and down or whatever that, and I would trace around it. Okay.
Yeah.
Then pull it off. Then take your, I'll tell you what I would do after that. I'll tell you what I would do. I would take a circular saw. I would set the depth for, about an inch or more than 3/4, and I would just cut along that line. Then I would take my router, and I would put a 3/4 straight bit in it, set it for just a little proud of 3/4 of an inch, just a little thicker than that ply, a little deeper than the ply, and I would just buzz it out. Take my chisel, knock off any dog nuts, get it all blown out. Then you can take some wood glue and put the one side of the French cleat, screw that onto the mantle. I would drill some pilot holes just to play it safe, not to crack anything out. Then I would take the side that's going on the mantle, on the fireplace. I would put a straight edge on it first and see if anything dipped in or whatever.
There you go.
I would put that thing on there with a lot of PL 4000 or 2000 or whatever. I'd it up the back of it.
To compensate for bowing if you get it.
Well, partially. I would pre-drill a bunch of Tapcons, something beefy, into the – and you're going to have to countersink them. Use a flathead. Don't use the nut drive one. Use the flathead with the big number 3 drive Phillips on it.
Right.
Suck it in. Make sure it's not hanging out of that ply. As you go along, you can use a shim or two.
That's what I was thinking.
But you want to make that, put a level on it flat to make sure it is not bowing or dipping.
If there's a low spot, then don't suck that screw in until you put a wedge
into it.
Make sure at the end that you put that 4-foot level on that cleat, and it's all true. That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about his family.
I don't care about the family. I don't care about anything.
Turkey.
I care about this cleat working for you.
That's all he cares about.
Don't suck it in too deep, otherwise it won't take to the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... my big thing is I wanted to make sure that would be, if you guys thought it would be structurally strong enough to support the beam. The thing is pretty heavy. It's beefy, so
I hate to tell you, I'd go up in size. I wouldn't do 3/4. I'd do something bigger.
No. Listen, Strummer.
Agree to disagree.
It takes a big man to sit here and tell you you're wrong. The strength, you're not getting any more strength out of coming out or being beefier that way. Your sheer strength on that ply just, is all you need.
But I have to tell you that it takes away the reason to have to fill out with shims and fuck around with it to try and make sure it stays flat. It's much easier.
Like rip a 2x6 instead?
Yeah, I think, but no. You know, agree to disagree.
No. It's unnecessary. I've done so much with one by.
I'm the French cleat king of Indiana.
You are, but you know what? You've lost your fastball. Your best days are behind you. You're no longer the titan
true.
You were.
So that's true.
Now, and also, good goddamn luck, you hogging out an inch and a half of the back of that fucking thing. Yeah. I mean, that's a router. That's a router nightmare.
Yeah. It'll maybe two or three bits.
You
by
can't.
The way.
Yeah. It's not going to work. Just go 3/4. By the way, the 3/4 is not even 3/4. It's a little less than 3/4 because
of our fictitious measurement.
On everything. And you know, the other thing I would do. I would go with a good shop grade kind of finish ply. Don't get some exterior shit. You know what I'm saying? Like get a decent
nine
grade.
Ply.
Get a decent grade.
Yeah, I got
grade.
Some MDO left over from a boat build, so I think I can probably use that.
Yeah, use that.
Okay, so you're fine. All right,
and don't hang a beefy photograph of the family on it for God's sakes, because it'll rip it right off.
I think you're going to be all right with this. If you want to do an exploratory hole. And see how deep that grout goes and think about just hanging a piece of 5/8 all thread off of there and just going a double dowel. You know, that'll work.
I like the dowels, too.
If you want to just do an exploratory hole, because that'll be a lot faster than what we're talking about.
How deep are you setting those when you do that? I'm just afraid of hitting a flue. That's my only concern about drilling that deep in there.
Don't go past 4 inches.
I got three flues in the chimney, so I don't want to hit them.
Yeah. Are they metal?
No, they're all clay.
Oh, okay. Well, when you see red stuff coming out of the drill pit and you're not bleeding, then it's time to stop. It's tough. They're all different. Sometimes they have the double-sided, you know, stainless steel stuff. You got your firebox. You got your flue. I've been there, man. I've done the chimneys. You've done chimneys?
Yeah. Chimneys are not easy. You mean in terms of retrofitting them after they've fallen? I've done that where you retrofit them after they fall down.
Yeah, done that. That's, taking them down, built the new ones.
Yeah.
The new ones, you build them, there's a whole science. Like I've taken them down to the roof line.
Yeah.
And you have to put a bond beam, called a bond beam. Then you have to use like red steel and frame it out of red steel. And then you shear wall the outside of it, apply. And then you run like a double walled stainless flue up there.
It's way more than when they originally did them just with brick. And right?
Way more. All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe here. I'm a big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. They're prepared for everything. If a storm takes out your power, your phone line gets cut. Keypad gets destroyed. Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't need to be ready for everything, but Simply Safe will be ready for everything. That's what makes Simply Safe great. It's always ready. Just $14.99 a month. No contracts. No hidden fees. We all have them here. We all use them here. You just peel and stick. Up and running in under an hour. You order your whole system online. Shows up at your door a few days later. Batteries last up to 10 years. And again, no drilling, no crawling around, no pulling wires, none of that. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know, and that's why we all use it here. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That is simplysafe2eyes.com/Adam. All right, let's see. Someone has a dryer vent in his garage. Needs to catch the lint somehow. Hey, Javier.
Hey, Span, how you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Good. Strummer, hello to you.
What's up, brother?
Hey, I've got a dryer. It vents to the garage. I think the garage was built after the house, so it used to vent outside. Now it vents into the garage.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I have in there gets covered in lint.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I can catch the lint somehow without choking the dryer out so it still dries stuff?
Yes. They make a box that has water in it and a filter, and it catches it and traps it and saturates it with water.
Really?
And then you just empty the box out.
Really?
It's an overmount box, yeah.
It goes where?
It goes vent to the box. The box has a filter with water in it, and then that catches lint, and then you pull that out and just, you know, it's basically like one of those dryer vent kind of things.
Show me, Gary. Show me this thing. How often do you have to fill it with water?
I think it's, you know, just you keep...
Or do you hook it up to a source?
No. It's just you keep water in the bottom of it, like a tiny little puddle of water. I saw it once online.
Stromy, can you tell me what I should Google in here?
Lint collection. Lint collection for dryers. Let's try that.
Huh.
So you can take one of these things... And again, it must be something where I think we're looking at it.
Yeah.
And it must have a reservoir or something.
It's got some kind of little reservoir in it or something like that. Yeah. Let's look.
You can't fill it every day. So there must be some way of filling it up. Lint trap kit. Yes.
It's not going to need to be plumbed or.
No. It's just a box that goes right in to that. And I think there's some sort of moisture component to it.
Uh-huh.
Like a filter that you wet or something like that.
A lint trap kit versus having it spray out all into your garage. You have it finish off into the lint, and then you have to obviously periodically empty it out.
Correct.
But it's sort of $18. Not too shabby.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Did you find that on Amazon?
Yeah, just go online and look up lint trap kit for dryers, and you can overmount it on the existing pipe that comes in, the vent that comes into the garage. And then it's a good idea because that stuff's flammable. So coming into a garage is a bad idea.
There's an issue with fire and lint, and you know, if your dryer is gas powered and has a flame, and it does cause fires. And it is something you want to keep up on.
Yes.
And by the way, just as long as we're talking this time of year, not a bad idea to clean out those filters in terms of your HVAC system as well. Everyone's turning the furnace back on.
That's right.
Sure.
So get that and get a carbon monoxide sensor as long as we're at it. Because
fire safety.
That carbon monoxide is a killer. It does happen.
You know what? It's the silent killer.
It's the silent killer.
I just
wanted
to put some drama into it.
It is the silent killer.
Well done, Stormer. Well done.
That's right. Not the one-man band, Dick Van Dyke killer, but the silent killer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Silent but deadly.
Oh, man.
All right, so get that, and good luck to you, Javier. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I am working.
Good man.
What are you doing?
I work for the fire department.
Oh, wow.
Hey, thanks for your help. I hope. Where were you? Oh, you're in Tucson. You weren't affected
by it. I'm in Tucson,
Okay.
I do structure stuff. That wildland stuff's a whole other ballgame.
Hey, Javier, I spent a fun-filled night at the Hotel Congress and then ended up at a party in the warehouse district, and the band had hazmat suits on. It was awesome.
That's Tucson, Arizona.
That sounds like downtown.
Yeah,
I work at the station downtown, so I've seen those guys. That's awesome.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, well, we don't have to tell him about fire safety because he knows about fire safety.
He
he's a fireman.
My friend's the mayor of Malibu, and he's also the fire chief and captain of one of those big rigs that sits on the road and sprays the water, saved lives. And I sprayed a friend's house down with the flame retardant stuff that you run a hose through and saturate the house. He was up in Topanga. He was out of town.
Oh, really?
I wanted to potentially save his house. Fire did not get to his house, but I did, in fact, get covered in fire retardant because it was a very windy day. None of it got on the house. Most of it got on me.
Did it sort of like foaming down the airstrip?
Yeah, that's it.
How close was your house to any trouble?
Mine's far. I'm in Northridge, so it was you know, I wasn't in peril. But the air from Rocketdyne, right? Mm-hmm. That whole area burned, and we don't know if radioactive particles from those tests back in the 40s and 50s were airborne, so there's a good chance we're all going to be glowing soon with radioactivity.
But you did get the certified vegan or the certified...
The sauna.
No, you got the turkey that's certified organic.
Yeah. There's hypocrisy in all of us.
No, I'm saying you're going to battle off this scourge known as cancerous air.
That's right.
With your certified turkey.
Can I just tell you that everybody's got a to-do list? You know this, people. You got to drop off dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. It's a busy time of year. People don't need to be bothered with additional things. Why not save hundreds of dollars on car insurance? And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to Geico.com. That's right, Geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? Are you kidding me? That's the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Geico.com.
All right, we have a video question.
Yes, we do. Please email us your video questions, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com, and go to aceontheroof.com to see them. And this week's video question is from Jake.
Ace Man Stromer, get it on, buddies. Coming to you live from my makeshift painting booth I've fashioned out of some 4mm plastic here in my 2-car garage. Getting ready to paint some board and batten shutters that I've made myself. Mm. My question to you today is about mounting. So, here's a shutter. I figure most people are probably drilling holes.
You made that out of poplar.
Screwing them straight into the house. I'd like to avoid that, even though I could do a real nice job by drilling all the way through with a 1/4-inch bit and then using a 1/2-inch Forstner bit to countersink the heads and then use some 1/2-inch screw hole plugs, and that'd be all great, except, I don't know, these screw hole plugs are oak, this is poplar, you know what?
Oh, it's average poplar?
Wouldn't know the difference.
Oh, wait a minute, I knew what species of wood it was.
You guys figure out any way on the backside to mount these things. Not exactly like a piece of art, but something. Can you figure out any way?
What's the front?
Where I don't have to drill a hole through the front of these shutters.
I can. I got
them out
thoughts.
Of my house.
I got thoughts.
Love to hear what you guys have to say.
I got big thoughts.
Wait, was that primer on the back and that's the back?
Oh, he took poplar, looked like he either biscuited it,
yeah.
Or he just had a solid piece of poplar. And then it looks like he V-grooved the front of it. Or maybe they were separate pieces and he biscuited it and put it together. Whatever.
And it's also mitered on all those corners. It looked very nice.
Nice job.
Yeah.
What's this gentleman's name again, Matt? We'll figure it out.
Gentleman's name is Jake.
Jake did it.
I like the cut of your jib, Jake.
Oh, you're right, Adam. Look, he V-grooved a solid piece.
He either V-grooved a solid piece or he did a really nice job laying those things up, he biscuited the thing and got a bar clamp and blah blah blah. But it looks like he V-grooved a solid piece. But either way, he's done a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Now he's got a flat back that's I don't know, foot and a quarter wide or 16 inches wide or something, and he wants to put on the side of his house. Did he say what the side of his house was, Stromer?
I think he said stucco.
Stucco.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I got answers, man.
What are you going to do?
Oh, man.
How are you going to hide the screw heads? How?
Not screwing it.
What are you talking about?
I'm gluing it and tattooing it.
Die!
Listen to me.
War movie, by the way. Go ahead.
I want you to take that area where that shutter's going to go.
Yeah.
And I want you to brush it real good and clean it real good.
Yeah.
Make sure it's clean. And this guy knows what he's talking about. Clean it real good. Then I want you to get some 100% silicone. We'll go clear, white. I don't care what it is. Just 100% silicone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want you to put 4 big dollops in each corner, not too close to the edge.
No.
I don't want it to gush out.
No bleeding.
But I want the 4 big dollops in each corner, and I'll take another big dollop in the middle, and then I'll just take serpentine ropey stuff around the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. So how's this going to work, Ace Man? Because you said you're going to get 100% silicone, and you're going to stick it on the side of that thing.
Of the stucco.
But how's that going to work?
I don't know.
How's that going to hold?
How would one do that?
Well, the real question is, is if you could stand there and hold it overnight and let the silicone dry completely, it would work.
Yeah.
But, and it, look, there's a version of this that involves construction adhesive that you could do as well. But I've done this before. I do 100% silicone.
Yeah.
Or you could do liquid nails, whatever.
Right.
Okay. But the question really is, how do you hold it overnight? Because that thing needs to sit overnight.
Got to lean something against it, don't you?
No.
No. Wait, what? There's an answer that you have?
Yes.
Wow.
Prepared. To have your mind blown.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, it'll work.
Okay.
A real hot glue gun.
No.
A real hot glue gun. A real hot glue gun will have different cartridges that'll have like 15-minute, 10-minute, instant setup, 3-minute, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Industrial strength.
Sure.
You silicone it up first. Then you get a real, I'm not talking about like
a craft
Hobbit.
Gun. No.
I'm talking about a good hot glue gun. Get the 3-minute setup.
Yeah.
Take somewhere inside of your four big corner blobs of silicone, go in another inch and a half and put four big blobs. Boom. Onto the thing.
Sets up quick.
Hold it. Hold it.
3 minutes
hold
is all
it.
I
ask.
Stretch
hold
your
it.
Calves while
stretch
you're-
your calves while you're at it.
Yeah.
That thing will grab, that thing will set up, and it'll lock it in.
Yeah.
Overnight, the silicone will dry.
How dare you present a two-stage solution?
Use the glue gun like a clamp.
Man. There's a reason, isn't there, that you sit in this throne of
there
yours.
Is.
There's a reason.
No screw holes necessary.
No, not
thank
here.
You.
Good work.
All right. There you go. That's how you do it. I've done it many times with like heavy mirrors and stuff like that. It works.
Yeah.
People don't realize you silicone the shit out of something flat and it on
works.
Something. It's not going anywhere.
You know what? You just taught me.
But you
me,
can't friend, keep it there.
Friend, you just taught me something. You know why? Because I have a shutter that did in fact fall off the side of my stucco. Guess what daddy's doing today?
Going to find himself a hot glue gun.
That's what they used to call me back in the day.
The hot glue gun, a professional grade, will have like different strengths, different time setups, different materials like wood or metal and plastic or whatever. Avail yourself of one, please.
You complete me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last but not least, Beacon Roofing, roofing contractors. Listen up. Beacon created a new app, saves you time and helps you work more efficiently. It's free. You can download it right now at BeaconProPlus.com. Helps you lay out material planning. It's got innovative estimating tools. Transforms your smartphone photos of customer homes into a fully measured, customizable 3D model. So you can figure out how much material to order. Helps with estimating. You can order the materials right off the app, like GAFs. Timberline Ultra HD shingles with StainGuard Plus technology. Just enter color and quantity, and the app does the rest. Plus, perfect order templates so you can glide right through the paperwork and stuff that used to take up a big chunk of your time and no one wanted to do anyway. So you work hard. Now work smart. Download the app today. Free. BeaconProPlus.com. Even if you're not a professional, I've come home and seen Lynette just laying out roofing squares. You know what I mean?
Man, when she does that, it makes the world change, doesn't it?
And I said, what's up? And she's just like,
I'm laying stuff out, roofing squares.
I want to know the difference between, you know, like a 3-tab asphalt presidential and a shaker.
I wish my wife would do something like that.
Well, you're not married to the right woman. She's just, where's she in Vegas making money? Durr. Sorry, Charlie. BeaconProPlus.com is where you go. All right. This Friday, November 30th, Anaheim Grove with Rob Riggle doing a live pod up there. You come out and out and say hi. Go to Corolla Drinks. Lynette is working on that.
Yeah.
People, when she's not laying out roofing squares,
yeah,
she's
she
over manning Corolla Drinks. So check out the Christmas crate. Got a lot of goodies over there. Also, say hi to our friend Zane Lamprey over at Zane's World. Got a great podcast Tuesdays on Podcast One. and go to adamcarolla.com for all you need and support the show at Ace on the House. And you can visit us at aceontheroof.com. Stromer, what do you got?
I'm preparing an international bid for yet another recording studio for a huge world-famous band.
International?
Yes. It's going to an island.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla. First Stromer saying, mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Carolla Digital.
Stick around for the AP News.